Lord God, we are so thankful for this glorious day, the day when life came out of death, the day that we can celebrate changed world history forever. But Lord, a day we should celebrate that changed our lives forever, because we, as your Easter people, can walk in the power of the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for the truths that will be revealed today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. I think that it is hard for us sometimes to truly understand everything that went on that very first Easter, almost 2,000 years ago. The time when Jesus was betrayed, tortured, and was crucified upon a Roman cross. We've tried to follow that journey here at St. Paul's over the past few days. We came together on Thursday night to gather as Jesus and his disciples gathered on the night that he was betrayed. We had communion just as they had the Last Supper. And we washed each other's hands as they washed each other's feet. On Friday morning, we gathered here together to remember that our Lord and Savior died a horrible death upon the cross. We remembered his love for us and the price that he paid for us that day. But somehow I don't think we'll ever understand the full meaning of the cross or what was going on in the hearts and minds of those who were there, those who saw our Savior die. And after remembering the horrible things that were done to Jesus on that Friday, here we are today to celebrate the fact that death had no hold on him. We are here to remember and to celebrate that Jesus is not dead, but is alive. Our Lord and our Savior arose from the grave. Amen? For those whose lives have changed by the saving work of Jesus, we know the power of the resurrection. It is evident in our lives. Because of Jesus and because of our faith in him, when we turned away from our own ways and followed him, God took what was dead within us and gave us new life. A new life that we live with him now, and a life that will continue on into eternity. But I've always wondered how that very first Easter felt for those who loved the Lord. For those who were there. Those who were there when all of these things happened right before their very eyes. What a time it must have been to see their Lord betrayed, tortured, and crucified. And none of it would have made any sense until that Sunday morning when they found that that tomb was empty. In our scripture reading that was read for us this morning, we are told about three of Jesus' followers, but there's just one in particular that I'd like to look at this morning. By looking at the death, and more importantly, the resurrection of Jesus through this woman's eyes, I think that you and I will be able to understand the power of the resurrection for ourselves. That person was Mary Magdalene. Mary was a very special person who loved Jesus very much. Jesus had healed her. And it set her free from seven evil spirits who were destroying her life. Mary owed Jesus her life. And she knew it because she devoted her life to him. Throughout his ministry, she was there right with him. And when Jesus was betrayed, forsaken, and denied by all but one of his male followers, Mary stayed with Jesus right to the bitter end. She was there when Jesus was dying upon the cross. She was there when Joseph of Arimathea laid Jesus in the grave. And she was there when the Roman soldiers rolled an enormous stone in front of the tomb so that no one could steal his body and claim that he was alive. I can only imagine what was going on through her mind and what pain must have been her heart that Friday. We aren't told what she was doing on the Saturday, but she was probably observing the Jewish Sabbath. However, we are told that early on the Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She had probably been up for most, if not all, of the night, trying to cope with her deep loss. And because her mind was troubled, she went before the sun rose to that tomb. She was undoubtedly trying to figure out what on earth was going on, trying to remember the words of Jesus and what he had said was going to happen. But the reality of his death was so fresh in her mind. Her Savior, her Lord, was dead. Had the powers of hell won? Was Jesus gone forever? Where was her life going to go now? Who would she follow? Where could she get any comfort in her time of need? When Mary arrived at the tomb, she found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She must have been distraught. Her mind probably couldn't make any sense of what was going on. So she ran. She ran and found Peter and John, and probably with tears in her eyes proclaimed, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." We are told that they all raced back to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. John arrived first and stopped at the opening. He looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. He may have been afraid that it was a trap by the authorities to try and see who of Jesus' followers would show up and then arrest them. Or maybe he was afraid of the sight that might be waiting for him, the sight of Jesus' tortured and mangled body. Then Peter arrived, and unlike John, he went straight inside the tomb without any hesitation. Once John had seen that Peter had entered the tomb, John also decided to follow. When he did, we are told that he saw and believed, for until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said that Jesus must rise from the dead. After seeing that Jesus wasn't there, after seeing that Jesus had been resurrected, something very strange happened. Peter and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples, just went home to where they were staying. I don't know what they were thinking, because when they came out of the tomb, they said nothing to Mary. Mary was standing outside of the tomb, and she was crying. These two apostles of Jesus had witnessed the empty tomb. They knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. They may not have known where he was, but they knew that he must be alive, that he had risen from the grave just as he had told them he would. But they said nothing, absolutely nothing, to the person who needed to hear this message the most, to the person who didn't know that Jesus had risen, the person who was standing outside crying with pain in her heart. You know, just like John and Peter, you and I are witnesses to the resurrection. Not just because we read about it in our Bibles, but because we believe it and because we know it within our hearts. And when we believe this and have truly given our lives to Jesus, the Spirit of the living God lives within us. We sense his presence, his guidance, and his love. And the Spirit that is within us bears witness that Jesus arose from the grave that day. It is because of his resurrection from the dead that we have a new life in the Lord. But it is not a life that is intended to be kept to ourselves or for ourselves. It is a life, an understanding, and a faith that needs to be shared with others like Mary, who were crying. I'm sure all of us know of many people who are crying. Maybe not crying on the outside, but inside they are battered and they are worn by life. They have no hope and no source of strength and peace. They are people who are perhaps have lost loved ones, who have faced separation, people who are stressed to the point of breaking, people who are filled with fear, people who feel that life just has no more meaning or purpose, people who have tried to fill their hearts with the things of this world, but are starving, absolutely starving for the life-giving presence of Jesus. But they have never truly heard his name or fully committed their lives to him. We all know people who are dealing with relational problems, problems at home, problems with life, and problems within themselves. And on the inside, they cry. They cry because they don't seem to be able to find an answer. Sometimes they feel that God is far from them. And others don't even know that the risen Lord who can turn their light into darkness, their sorrow into joy, and their hopelessness into purpose and meaning. Some have never understood that there is a risen Savior who will take them by the hand and lead them through the difficulties that they are facing. They don't know there is a Savior who will set them free from their sin and their shame. And they don't know this truth because no one has told them. I don't think it was the will of Jesus for Peter and John to get the revelation of the living Lord and to keep it to themselves, to just turn away and leave someone they knew to cry in despair. And it isn't the Lord's will either that we receive the truth of Jesus for ourselves and not share his love with others. The only way that people will come to know Jesus is if you and I introduce them to him. That is the great commission that Jesus has given to all of us. That's our calling as Christians, to share the great news that there is a living Savior who came to give us life, to give us hope, to give us meaning and purpose in this hurting and broken world. Unlike Peter and John, we need to share our faith with other people. Sometimes we think that all we need to do is just be nice to others, to serve them in their need without saying anything at all. But that's what Peter and John did. They went through the actions without taking the time to share the message of the risen Lord with Mary. Serving others without sharing Jesus with them doesn't accomplish a whole lot, because the people around us in our lives will still be left crying from the pain inside because we have not told them about Jesus, the only one who can take that pain away. The resurrection message is really a call to action, to share the power of the risen Lord with others who are in our lives. I think that is the most important thing that we can do, to serve God and to serve others in our life here on earth, to introduce them to the Savior, the risen Savior, the one who isn't in the grave. In 1887, 22 years after the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln, they actually dug up his coffin. And they opened it because there was all these rumors that his body was not in the grave. So they dug it up. And guess what? They found that his body was indeed there. But the rumors continued. So 14 years later, they had to dig it up again. Both times there was witnesses. People there were present who testified that Lincoln was still in the grave. 3 days after the death of Jesus, similar rumors began to spread throughout the whole land of Israel. Only this time there were no witnesses who could say that they had seen his body. In fact, to the contrary, many witnesses claimed to have seen him outside of the grave and even talked to him after the resurrection. As great a man as Lincoln was, there were witnesses to prove he was still in the grave. If someone today were to cry out to Lincoln for help, there would be no response. If a scientist were to cry out to Einstein for help, there would only be empty silence. But if you and I call out to Jesus, there is instant power available to us, power to change lives, our lives, and the lives of those around us. Why? Because he lives. And Mary was just about to find out this for herself. We are told that as she wept outside of the tomb, she stopped and looked in. She saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave, and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. I've always wondered why Mary didn't recognize her Lord, why she didn't recognize his face, his voice. Perhaps she was so distraught that she wasn't thinking clearly. Maybe her eyes were so full of tears that she couldn't see properly. Or maybe her faith was diminishing because the circumstances of life were bigger than she could bear. But I know in my life, and maybe in some of your lives too, there are times when I look back and realize that I haven't recognized the Lord either. Times when I didn't recognize his presence in my life or his hand at work in my situation. Many times it was because I was too focused on the problem, too caught up in the emotions of the moment. But looking back now, I know that Jesus was indeed there, working in the shadows around me, bringing his will to bear in my life. Because of the resurrection, because of Jesus' power over both sin and death, the God who loves us can now be with us. And it is with us even when we think that he is far away. Jesus asked Mary, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Still, Mary didn't recognize the Lord because she thought that Jesus was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and I will get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni, teacher." Now Mary knew that it was her Lord and her Savior who was standing before her. He had been there all along. I think that sometimes we wonder where the Lord is in the midst of our distress, in the midst of our storms of life. Sometimes he seems so far away when life becomes unbearable and hard. But just as surely as Jesus called out to Mary that day, he calls out to us during the storms of life. And he calls us by name. He doesn't come and promise to take away our tears. He doesn't come and promise to make things better all at once. But he promises to be with us, to be near us, giving us the comfort and the strength to go on. God has never promised to take away our tears in this life. And as many of you know, the heartaches of life can cause us all to cry. While we are on earth, we will cry. We will have pain. But we have the assurance that our risen Lord is with us. He is the one who said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And when this age, this time on earth, is over, God has promised us in the book of Revelation that he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. All these promises, all these wonderful things, are only possible because Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, arose on Easter Sunday. We have a living hope, an eternal hope, only because of him. At the end of their short time together, Jesus spoke some final words to Mary. He said, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." What a wonderful, beautiful statement. All because of Jesus, when we place our faith in him and in the resurrection, we can call our Maker, our Creator, the Almighty God, we can call him our Father and our God. When we begin to get an understanding of our new relationship with God, because of what Jesus did on that very first Easter, the things of this life will start to seem pretty small. We can claim that God is for us and not against us. that the God of all creation knows our names, calls us by name, cherishes us as his children, and walks this earthly life with us. All we have to do is ask. What a change Jesus brought to Mary that day. She had thought that Satan had won, that God's plan had been defeated, that there was no hope now for this life or for the life to come. But then Jesus showed up, the resurrected Jesus who called Mary by name. The power of the resurrection resurrected her hope and her joy. The power of the resurrection brought new life to her, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that power is available to all of us today. Because Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, we too will be resurrected with immortal bodies. We will be in the presence of our Savior forever. So no matter what happens in this life, no matter if you feel down and overwhelmed, we can claim that we are victorious. We are overcomers because of our risen Lord. This morning we are here to remember the power of the resurrection. To remember that because Jesus lives, he is with us through the trials of life. And to remember that because Jesus lives, we too shall live forevermore in the presence of our Lord, our Savior, and our friend.